Talk this morning about the father of the faithful, and his name is Abraham. So if you have a quick look at Genesis, his name was first Abram. And some of the points I'm going to pick on, you know full well. The story you know full well, but he goes through an experience where very, very often all his seed and children go through. Now, Abraham, or as he was called, Abraham, lived in the land of Mesopotamia, what we call Iraq. He's an Iraqi. So was his wife, Sarah. So was his son, Isaac. So was his son's wife, Rachel. So was their child. And so was Jacob's wife. Rebecca was Isaac's wife. Rachel was Jacob's wife. All from the land of Iraq. A few miles south of where Saddam Hussein was doing all his work. All right? Now, he was a rich man living in a walled city. All right? And God called him to the land of Palestine. He said, I will give you the land of Palestine. Didn't say Palestine. But I'm going to take you to a land, and I'm going to give you children like the stars of the sky. Now, Abraham left, and he was an old man, 75 years old, older than all of us here. And he went out at the age of 75. Out of this walled city of Ur, out of the walled city of Haran, he traveled to the land of Canaan, Palestine, Israel. And he lived in a tabernacle. To my knowledge, no man on earth has lived in a tent as long as Abraham has. He died at the age of 175. For 100 years, he lived in a tent. Okay? So if you want to learn anything about tabernacles, Abraham is the man to ask. He knows everything about tents. When they went out after some time, his brother or his nephew Lot, they grew rich, plenty of flocks. And the herdsmen began to quarrel. And Abraham said, hold on, we can't quarrel. We're going to upset everything. There's the land before you. If you want to go to the plains, the Jordan Valley was like the Garden of Eden. That's what the Bible said. You go there. I'll stay in the mountains. Or, if you want the mountains, I'll go to the Garden of Eden. Lot was getting a bit fed up of living in tents. So was his wife. That's why when she left Sodom, she looked back and thought, oh, not another spell in tents and caves. It's hard work, isn't it? Might have had a bit of doubt about Abraham's call or his promise. And God says several times to him, Chapter 12, Now the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Time passed. He had no children. He began to wonder. I'm getting older. My wife's getting older. How on earth is she going to have a child? And Sarah has had an idea. She says, God has promised you an heir, not me. Maybe you can have a child from my Egyptian maid. And you know the story. He went into to Hagar. And Ishmael was born. And God said, no, this is not the son of promise. I've promised a son to you and Sarah. In Sarah, from Sarah will come the promised seed. And then eventually Isaac was born. It was a great test. As our good friend Russell said the other day, he had an enormous cost to pay. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into this land. And off he went, left everything back in Iraq, and he traveled. And the years passed, and eventually Isaac was born. He had then another very big test. I'll just remind you of the story. This son, deliver him up. Deliver him up. Kill him. Offer him up as a sacrifice. Without hesitation, Abraham took Isaac, and they went up to the region of Moriah, and he was on the point of slaying his son. God said, hold on, that's all right. I know you have faith. I know you believe. Abraham believed that if he killed Isaac, slit his throat, God could raise him up from the dead. He was the first man, in my opinion, who ever understood, long before the resurrection of anyone, he believed, Abraham believed in the resurrection. I'm going to come to that later in the New Testament. He was quite willing to sacrifice Isaac, and Isaac was quite willing to be sacrificed, because both of them knew that God was able to raise them from the dead. Hadn't he opened Sarah's womb? 90 years old. And God tested that. He's called the father of the faithful. And I'm going to go various stories to show all the sons and daughters of Abraham and faith. It is said by many that faith is a New Testament concept. There's no faith in the Old Testament. It was all obedience, obedience, obedience. No faith, no grace. Well, I'm going to show you a chapter where it was all faith, 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 faith. And the obedience was just evidence of that faith. You're going to see that in a little while. God appeared to Abraham several times. At one stage, Lot was taken a prisoner and carried away, and Abraham rescued him. I have to take this because all my notes are in this King James here. Right? And he goes and he captures and brings Lot back. Right? He brings him back. I'm going to read from chapter 24. When Abraham was old, well stricken in years, the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that he ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And made him promise that he wouldn't take of the daughters of Canaan for his wife, for his son. And away went the servant, you know, and brought back Rebekah. Now I'm going to go through up to chapter 26. Now there was a famine of the land beside the first famine that were in the days of Abraham. Isaac went to Abimelech of the Philistines, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will bless thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. That was the oath. And the reason why God sworn oaths to Abraham is given in the next two verses. And I will make thy seed, he's talking to Isaac, to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because he's not just talking about Jesus Christ, he's talking about all the seed who come through him, if we are Christ. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws. Long before Moses and Mount Sinai, this was hundreds of years before. And God said, I will bless you, multiply you, because you kept my commandments. And Isaac had learned these great lessons from his father. He had no children either. For a long, long time, his wife Rebecca was barren. All the great women in the Bible, it seems, were miraculously delivered of child. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah,
Elizabeth,
Mary. Probably about dozens of others. This fellow who sinned against Abraham and Isaac, you know, God shut up all their wombs. He began to realize, hold on, something's wrong here. You know, king of Gerar. Anyway, Abraham was miraculously brought out, preserved. His children were miraculously given him. And it was all because of his faith and because he obeyed my voice. All right? Now I want you to turn to a chapter in the New Testament which will show you how important faith is, and that's Hebrews chapter 11. All right? Don't let anybody ever tell you he had faith that God can give his old wife at 90 years of age a child. He had faith that even if he killed his son, God could raise him from the dead. He had faith that he'd have tens of thousands of children, even though at the time he had none. Look up at the stars, Abraham. Can you count them? No. I'm going to give you children, Lalad. Look north, south, east, and west. All this land, the whole world, the whole universe, I'm going to give to you. Because when he went up this mountain, he could probably only see about 20, 30 miles in each direction. But God didn't mean 20, 30 miles, or even to the land of Babylon where he came from, the Euphrates. He meant, look, the whole earth, keep looking, see the galaxies, see the spiral galaxies, I'm going to give you all that. And your children are going to be as numerous as the sand of the seashore. It'll take you a lifetime counting the grains of sand in one hand. And he believed. And that belief, that faith, was put in the books as righteousness. It's called the righteousness of faith. It wasn't how good he was and what he did. It's what he believed. And as great believers in commandments and doing things, remember, this is only a reflection of faith. All these acts of obedience are great, but one single unseen act of faith in the middle of the night in your head is worth everything. And the greatest believers on earth, we are yet to find out. We don't know them. You see a man doing this, doing that, doing the other. You might do it yourself, I might do it. That's just the righteousness of action. The righteousness of what we call works. Important, very important. Because action proves how much faith you have. But the righteousness of faith you cannot measure, you cannot see. It's deep down in a person's soul. You don't know who is the most righteous in this organ, in this group, or anywhere in the church. You don't know that. Neither do I. It's because it's up here. Now, Hebrews 11, we're going on to the great men of faith. Men and women, all right? I want you to carefully study, and you know these chapters so well, but anyway, it's important to look at this again and again and again and again. And, if possible, try and measure up your own heart against these greats. These are the great people of the earth. There are others who come along after the book of Hebrews, but these are the greats. When you study some of their lives, they're not very good. Amongst them, they're harlots, all kinds of thieves and murderers. There's a bastard in this chapter, but he had faith. He's going to come and read. He tells us that faith is a substance. It's a substance you cannot see, you cannot weigh, you cannot measure, you cannot say, that's faith. You can't see that. That's a fruit. But faith is an invisible substance. And it's the substance, when you're weighed in the balance, that really counts. Of course, actions are very important too. All right. For by it, that's faith, elders obtained a good report. And the report is being written in the kingdom up there in the books. Your report, good or bad, is dependent on your faith. Your actions prove to one another and yourself that faith's there. But your good report up there is by faith, right? Through faith, now I want to see this, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We believe that this universe was created by faith. We believe that by faith. By faith we accept that fact, that God made the universe from nothing. It's not a question of a big bang, where did it come from and where's the matter and all. He just spoke and matter came into existence. That took shape, creatures were created just like his word. We believe that. That's the first thing you have to have and accept in this chapter. All these people believed in the creation. That's what it says in it. By faith we believe. All right? That counts to your good credit. If you don't believe that, it's a minus mark. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. In other words, when he offered the blood of the Lamb, it's righteousness. Because he believed in the blood of the Lamb. Cain offered a very good sacrifice, but he didn't believe in the blood of the Lamb. You can't approach God without the blood of the Lamb. You cannot approach. You can approach God with all that fruit in the world, all the money in the world, all the talent and education and gifts and all. If you don't have faith, it's meaningless. And we must remember that. His sacrifice was better because it was by faith that he offered it. The next one we see in verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, here are the two things, that he is, that he exists, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you don't have faith, you cannot please God. Everything's a waste of time. You're wasting your time, you're wasting your talents, you're wasting your money if you don't have faith. This whole chapter is about Old Testament people, and all of them had faith. So it's incorrect to say that faith is a New Testament concept. This whole chapter is Old Testament. Okay, the next one. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. Noah wasn't a perfect fellow. He got drunk when he came out of the ark. But his actions of preparing the ark and going in was faith. And that action condemned the whole world. It says, and he became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Heir of what? To my knowledge, Noah didn't have much land. What did he become heir of? He's going to be an heir with Abraham. Abraham lived 100 years in a tent. Go on to the next one. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, when he was called to go into the place which he should after receive as for inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, here it is, verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. Talk about keeping tabernacles. Nobody has kept tabernacles 100 years without a break. Isn't that so? He is the father of tabernacle keepers. Old man, 175 years, he could have easily gone back to Canaan. But he had faith. And for 100 years, old Abraham, from the age of 75 to 175, lived in a tent. Can you imagine that? Oh, it's fine when the weather's good, and it's fine in summer. But wintertime, the wind is blowing and the snow's on the hills. He wasn't in the Valley of Jordan, you know. He was up there on the hills. It's like living in a tent up there near Goat Fell somewhere. Rough wind. Abraham knew about that. He knew how to keep the tent pegs down. He knew when the canvas was torn. And he lived for 100 years, according to that verse, in a tabernacle. With Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Had a little community there. Isaac's wife was there. Jacob's wife was there. Abraham died later. For he looked for a city which hath foundations. He was not thinking of Ur of the Chaldees. He was not thinking of Haran. He was looking ahead. Sarah. We'll talk about Sarah. Through faith, when she first heard the news, she started laughing. She had a little giggle. Sarah's going to have a child. This is a joke. She's an old girl, isn't she? Past childbearing age. She thought, these men do say some funny things sometimes. Don't they? You know? But she believed it in the end. She believed it. It says, by faith, Sarah, right? Herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. We would say when she was past it. Eh? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. It wasn't just Abraham's faith, it was her faith. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as Abraham and Sarah. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith. Didn't receive any promise. Didn't even have a little house in the country. Didn't have a shed. Didn't have a barn. Goodness me. Guy living in a tent for 100 years with his old wife. It says here, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. He could have gone back to Mesopotamia any time he pleased. But he stayed there for 100 years. Right? It says here in verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now listen to this verse. According, accounting, believing that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In other words, when he was offering up Isaac, he believed, I'll kill him and God will raise him up. He believed that long before any resurrections took place. He believed in the resurrection. And his children believe in the resurrection too. He believed in the creation. And his children believe in the creation too. He believed in the commandments as a reflection of your faith. And his children believe in the commandments too. But it's the faith that's the front wheel. Look at the next one. By faith, Jacob. Verse 21. Note these two words. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Just want to show you that by faith is not a New Testament concept. It's as old as the hills. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Right? He blessed them. By faith, Joseph, when he was dead, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. So when you go out of this place, 200 years hence, you take my bones. And when they came out and they were wandering in the desert for 40 years, they were carrying two boxes, one with the law and one with Joseph's bones. He said, we will carry these bones for 40 years and we will bury them in Israel. And they're still there. They're still there. Abraham's bones are still there. Isaac's bones are still there. Rebecca's bones are still there. That's why all the fighting is taking place. Because these men believed in the resurrection. The next one, Moses, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Their action was by faith. It would be in my death sentence. But there you are, they did that by faith. And then by faith, Moses, when he was come of years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know the story, he could have been the next Pharaoh. He had a high position. And said, no, I'm throwing in my lot with the Israelites. Because there's a far better reward than being Pharaoh. They worshipped Pharaoh. Egypt was the top country in the world. And Moses said, I don't want it. I'm not interested in being Pharaoh. I'm interested in that place to which all the children of faith look. It says here, by faith he esteemed. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater, no, I missed a verse, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Does sin have pleasure? Yeah, there's pleasures in sin. You just got lots of people who wallow in it. But it's short-lived. That's static pleasures which are gone and leave a bitter taste in the soul. And Moses said, they're not for me. He says, esteeming the reproach of Christ. This was 1500 odd years before Christ came on the scene. He understood when he saw those lambs, he understood this point of the Messiah. Others didn't, but he did. Greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He was looking at the reward, the payout at the end, eternal life. Being an heir of the kingdom. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible, who is invisible. Talking about the children of Israel, verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry ground, dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to go down, drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down Suppose someone were to tell you, come along, we're going to conquer the city. You 120 odd priests, get these. What are you going to do? You're going to march around this wall, blowing our trumpets. All different sounds. I've heard many, many trumpets blow at the same time in the church in Africa. And then, we shout. And then, the walls will fall down. It's a joke, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I say, what sort of a nutter are we following? It's crazy. It's crazy. What sort of a warfare is this? How are you going to shout a wall down and blow a couple of these things, or a few, dozens of them? But that's how they walked around, and the walls fell down. And it was by faith. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies. She was a woman as low as you could possibly get. If you've ever spoken with a harlot, you'll see scum of the earth. A body's only useful till she's beautiful, then she's scrapped. Rahab was like that, and she had faith. She became the great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus Christ. Because she had faith. The rest of the city were trembling, and she says, I want to be saved. That's okay, you'll be saved. Oh, but I'm a harlot, forget that. You'll be saved. Because it's faith that saved the Rahab, the harlot. By faith, and what more can I say, verse 32, for the time would fail me to tell Gideon. The faith Gideon had, 300 to take on thousands of people. Barak. Samson. God, he hadn't done too well during his life. Made a couple of mistakes. Jephthah. Jephthah was an illegitimate child, a bastard. His family threw him out. But if you read the story of Jephthah and his defense when the king said, you're taking over our ground, he was a phenomenal character. Of David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Why? That they might obtain a better resurrection. That's why the martyrs died. I read a story of one martyr, and the fire wasn't burning, and his wood was wet, and he was melting, the fat was dripping off his hands, and he said, for God's sake, he said, put more fire there. And eventually he was beating his breast, and his hand fell off, rather than deny his Lord. One man was taken out of prison, strangled and burnt to the stake. Thousands died. Because they look forward a better resurrection. All these died in faith. Others had trials, cruel mockings, verse 36, scourgings, yea, moreover were bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. These folks went through hell. When you read about them, you shiver, you shake, you're frightened. You think, God, what faith these had. All of these Old Testament characters teach us a thing or two about faith. Of whom the world was not worthy. They were the cream of the earth. They were the best people of the world. And nobody recognized that. They wandered in the deserts, in the mountains, in dens and caves. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided something better, us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So at the resurrection, you're going to meet them. We'll all go into the kingdom together. You might walk up to a man and say, "Hello, I'm Dave Loughran. What's your name?" "I am Job." "I'm Moses." "I'm Noah." "You mean the Noah of the Bible, that's right." You're going to meet them all. You're going to meet Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You're going to meet these people. You're going to sit down and talk with them. I said, "You know that your story, you are thrilled to me. Our faith," I said. "That's all it takes, faith." And Jesus, on the great day in John chapter 7, where they read, where Martin read, after that appearance, in John chapter 7, I'll close here. All right. His brothers, they didn't believe, you know. It says in verse 4, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." They told him, "Go up to the feast, Tabernacles." Verse 1, "After these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of Tabernacles was at hand." You know, there's two days. 15th of the month, Tabernacles starts the week, but that's the Sabbath. And then the last great day, which is today. "His brethren said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world." Go on down. Do a couple of spectacular miracles down there. And then everyone will believe. "For neither did his brethren believe in him. Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come. Your time is always ready." And then he says, and they said, "Go ye up to the feast." "I go not up yet." "I'm not going up yet." He did not go up to the first feast. He went up to the last one. And he went quietly. "My time is not yet come." And when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. And the Jews sought him at the feast. "Where is he? Where is he? Where's this?" The whole country was talking about him. "Where is he?" And Jesus turns up. He says some important truths. "My doctrine," in verse 16, "is not mine, but his that sent me." He never brought any new doctrines. The God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, is not sort of a cruel old guy, and his son is a very lovable kind of. Jesus Christ never formulated one doctrine. Everything he learned, he got from his father. "My doctrine is not of my own, it's my father's. I tell you what he told me." Right? He goes on now in verse 37. "In the last great day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried." That's today. Alright? 22nd day of Ethanum. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." A true believer, and there are countless true believers, and very, very many do not believe. They do not believe in the creation. They do not believe in the lamb sacrifice. They do not believe in the resurrection. They're good people, some of them. They do good deeds. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. They might impress one another, but they don't please God. Isn't that so? You've got to have faith. And you've got to have faith not that he exists, but the universe exists because he called it into being. You've got to have faith that not only Jesus Christ lived, but that he died for me, for you. If you don't, you get nowhere. You've got to believe in the blood, be sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb. When you die, you've not only got to believe that, oh yes, your bones might hang around for a few hundred years, but that you will be resurrected. Isn't that so? And when you believe, Jesus says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. What are you talking about? The Holy Spirit will be given to every believer. And if you see the river of life that flows, starts small, slow, and eventually it's like a great big river, you can't even swim in it. God said to Abraham the same thing, you know, in Genesis chapter 15. Look at this. Let's go back to Abraham before I close. Genesis chapter 15. It says to Abraham, God speaking. After these things, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. That's after the battle with those five kings. And thy exceeding great reward. Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast not given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. He says, my servant's going to be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Yahweh. Not capital L, small O, R, D. Not small L, O, R, D, which is these lords and ladies that run around. But capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall be come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Isaac came from Abraham, out of his system. Isaac had Abraham's genes. Isaac was in Abraham at one stage, and Abraham was in Isaac. It's like he was in me one day, and now I'm in him. And he says, you'll out of your bowels will come the promised seed, and he will bring the Spirit of the Most High, and you will bring forth the river of life in your small way. Life will come. So that's the story of Abraham, and we are his children. We call him what? Father Abraham. He's a type of who? He's a type of God. He's playing the part, the little drama down here, of God the Father. And Isaac was playing the part of Jesus Christ. But we can learn a lot from Abraham, because he is the father of the faithful. Father of the faithful. And when you see all his children in that chapter 11, by faith they did this, by faith they did that, by faith they did this. You might do one action by faith, someone will do something totally different. But it's the motivating factor is faith. And if you don't have faith, you do not please God. You might impress yourself, impress your friends, impress people. But if you want to impress God and please Him, you must have faith in Him.